everybody.
Hey.
And welcome to Vibes. And we're now doing a video instead of audio.
Yes.
Yeah, so a big jump.
Big jump. So just showing our faces, show who we are. You know our voices. These are the people behind it.
Yes. So we're going straight to the introduction. My name is Snoop.
And I'm Mandeep.
And we are your host for Vibes. And we hope that you enjoyed the first two episodes. And yeah, we're going to get straight into it.
Yeah, let's go straight for it.
Right. So news. The first thing that I've got is Disney launching Disney Plus.
Yes. Big, big, big step for Disney. And from what I've heard for today, I actually quite like it. I think it's just, it's new, it's fresh. It's got a lot of content. A lot of stuff that's family friendly as well, which is a big, big thing.
It is. But then for me, being a Disney fan, obviously they've bought out Fox recently.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Deadpool, which I love. I don't know if you lot love that as well, but
yes.
You know, not being R-rated at the moment, I'm sure that they will bring it back. But for me, the most interesting part is content and price.
Yeah, price. Wow, amazing. $6.99 for a full package, including everything that they've got on the Disney Plus service that they're going to launch, compared to Netflix. Netflix, what, starting off at $8.99?
It's gone up in price recently.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So wow. I know that I pay $15.99 for my Netflix.
Wow.
Just to get HD and multiple screens going. So, yeah, Disney definitely onto it. Content straight up 4K yeah. and HDR.
It's a big, big rival for everything else. I mean, the fact that they've taken up a lot of shows off Netflix, which Netflix got from Disney, all the R-rated shows, like you said, which is going to be a bit of a step for Disney. I think hopefully they launch the R-rated side. Like you said previously, we spoke about this previously. Hopefully, they bring out some sort of pin code side of things. But starting off again, family friendly. It'll be on your smart TVs. You can launch it. Not worry about what's on there. Kids can watch what they want.
I think for
the
me,
content is huge.
The content is a big thing. So you got the back catalogue of Simpsons.
That's brilliant.
Every single episode of the Simpsons. Because at the moment, I don't know how it's like in the US, in the UK. We can't watch the first ever episode or this episode or that episode. I want to watch this episode from season 5 or this. But now,
at the moment, it's just looking for YouTube and hopefully someone has got it there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you were mentioning earlier, I mean, this could possibly put a massive dent on piracy as well.
Yeah, so that's a big thing. I think one thing that Disney Plus have mentioned is as soon as the films, you've got Captain Marvel, Avengers, as soon as those films are finished from the theatres, they'll be launched on the platform straight away. So that could kill off a lot of piracy. People wouldn't want the... At the moment, there's a lot of camera options on there, camera views of people in the cinema and so forth. People wait for those amazing amazing copies to be launched. And if it's out there already, straight after the theatres, it's on the platform.
Yeah.
I mean, $6.99, it's a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. We won't see it until the 12th of November, so a long while away. But it gives them time to build up the content.
Yeah.
We've got Apple Plus with their TV Plus as well. So they're probably waiting to see what their competitors are doing. Netflix are churning out content all the time.
Yeah.
Amazon are lagging behind.
They are a bit. Even their whole content, even their whole app, everything's a bit clunky.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm not overly joyed with it.
As you know, from previous podcasts.
Yes.
So it is what it is. So yeah, that Disney Plus, a big thing. So if you're a massive fan of streaming, they've got a load of content. I mean, they do also own ESPN, so we'll probably see something on the sports front.
Yeah.
They own Hulu as well, so more TV shows. So, you know, I'm sure there will be more announced as time goes on.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. So the next thing I've got is LinkedIn doing reactions, just like Facebook. I mean, what is your views on that?
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that, the whole... showing the different content or people post and so forth and people giving their reactions to it.
But it's becoming more like Facebook though.
That's the only thing. But I think LinkedIn it is slowly adapting to that professional Facebook environment. And that's something that we can't really get away from. I think the social media side of things is creeping into LinkedIn a lot. Hopefully people can still try and distinguish it from the social media side of things and not post the wrong things on there.
True. But then
that's another side of things. People can be more critical
to
certain things.
Yeah. But then at the same time, Facebook did try to launch Facebook for work.
Yes.
I haven't heard much about it. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's still alive out there or if it's dead.
In previous employment, we did have Facebook for work. It was good. That's all really much I can say about it. I didn't find it overly amazing. A few aspects on there, but like I said, I haven't heard any other companies going for it or launching out there. It's not been much said in the media about it.
No. I mean, it kind of died when it first started.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had Microsoft trying to do their iteration. I've forgotten the name of it, but that bombed.
Yeah.
So, LinkedIn is there. There's a lot of content out there, and it is obviously growing. But you're right. Where is that line?
Yeah, where is that line?
That black and white line. But
yeah, I mean, you're hoping that the end user will know that line. But as it starts creeping in, the wrong things could be said on there.
True.
It could be jeopardizing for people's careers.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, wait and see. So, you can give it a thumbs up, you can give it a smile. So, yeah. Watch out for that. That's rolling out at the moment. So, Samsung Fold pre-order starts today.
Yes.
For $1,980.
Cheap, yeah.
Cheap. I'm going to go to the shop
right
now.
Let's go and get one right now. Yeah. That's fine. Wow.
Yikes, I can buy myself a MacBook Pro. Yeah.
You can.
Just a phone.
With more features, it's unbelievable, but a phone for $1,980.
But the thing is, nobody really complained about the iPhone creeping up. I mean, people were like it. People still got it.
Yes, but
$2,000.
We're hearing also Apple are losing money on this, on the hardware side of things. They're not as more demanding as they were before. That's why they're launching all the streaming side of things, to get into that venture, to have that revenue coming on that side.
I mean, Samsung have posted, and I don't know if you've seen, a loss for this quarter in terms of money. So from the S9 to the S10 wasn't a big jump.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, for me, I looked at the Fold again, and in the top right, they don't have a hole punch on the screen. They've actually cut off a bit of a screen.
Which is weird.
A strange design.
I personally think it's a first-generation device. It's going to be expensive, so I can't see a lot of people picking it up. We have to see what the second and third generation adapts to.
Yeah.
But it's just the creases and the cameras. It needs to be all ironed out a little bit, to be honest.
Way too much. Funny enough, if I wanted to, I could buy several smaller laptops.
Exactly. I mean, the big thing is also the size of it as well. They need to change that.
Yeah.
Again, I think from previous, what I've mentioned is a Xiaomi foldable. I think it's big, but it's sort of
But
small,
Xiaomi's more expensive.
Is it more expensive? I haven't actually seen the price.
$2,300.
Wow. Okay. If it's something that they need to adapt to, I think they could solve it a little bit.
By the way, if you don't know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I would rather use that money to go to WrestleMania next year.
True.
I mean,
there's a lot of things you can do with $2,300.
Yeah, but anyway, crazy pricing. But if you want to pre-order it, it starts today.
Yeah.
Feel free to go on.
Get it while it's still in stock.
Yeah. Fair enough. Another big thing that's been hitting the internet is Amazon Alexa devices, Echo devices, listening in.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't find it surprising that a person at Amazon is possibly listening to our commands, but your take on that?
I mean, I think people using these Amazon Alexa devices, for them to adapt and understand and build their the back-end AI, it's something that's going to happen. How people are happy or not happy about this, that this knowledge coming out, is something that we have to just deal with it. If we're going to have these devices around our home, it's going to happen, unfortunately. I mean, you have got the option within Amazon to actually remove all your past recordings, which you can do.
Yes, you do. But listen, for me, I love the tech and I love everything that they do. AI is still very much at its infant stage, right? It's not going to understand everything. It still needs a human element to teach the AI.
Yeah.
It is part of the terms and condition. No one ever tends to read them.
Exactly, that's true.
But how else will it evolve? So, yes, I'm a little bit unhappy, but at the same time, what am I saying to it? I think I would have had more of an issue if they turned around saying it just randomly turned on the mic and then they can hear stuff. That isn't the case.
Yeah,
they're just listening to commands.
Yeah, commands, yeah. I mean, majority of commands that around my home is turn the lights on, turn the lights off.
Yeah.
Put the heating on, turn that off. That's it. That's and play this music, play that music.
Yeah.
Those are the majority of commands that I think majority of people will use. Obviously, you ask them, add this so-and-so to your calendar, add that so-and-so, which is, again, it's a learning experience for these devices. We're putting them out there in the public. It's something that we've got to just learn to deal with, really.
But and I'm sure we'll probably hear Google say we do the same.
Yeah.
They had an issue about 2 months ago where they found out the Nest cameras had a microphone and speaker that weren't really listed properly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. Hence why they've now released a new Nest Cam where they actively have Google Assistant built in. There was a little bit of backlash. Yeah. But again, I just thought it's not a big deal. You put it in the camera.
Yeah.
What difference is it having a mic and stuff? So, but talking about assistants, Google Assistant being integrated into G Suite.
Yeah, I mean, from what we've seen previously from Cortana being involved in Microsoft Suite, it could be a big thing. It could be a big thing.
For those of you who may not know, there's an option when you start up Office to allow intelligent services, which is the AI services, to work with the Microsoft Office products. And what you can do is you can literally drop in text and an image, and it will automatically pick a design for you or automatically put it in a particular way that it looks nice. And it looks like as if you spent hours trying to make a presentation look really cool. And
so you're giving the game away there.
Yeah. However, it saves time. It looks nice. Presentations look a lot more swanky. I don't mind it. And I think they were ahead of the curve. And to see Google now being able... I mean, the one thing you can't do is you can't use PowerPoint Web to do it. So the fact that Google are doing it on the web...
Yeah. Which is good. It's another new feature, giving people options to new designs. I think it definitely will be good. How they implement it and change it around compared to Microsoft, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But it could be a good thing.
Yeah. Definitely. So, you know, I guess we've got to play around with that. So macOS music app being split. That's a new thing that's coming out today. Yeah. I think it's a good thing. Because I'm going to be honest, I do listen to our own podcast again. And
yes, we do.
Yeah, I just learn and to obviously improve. Yeah. For me, it's difficult to find stuff like podcasts or TV shows or anything like that because it's all Apple Music and it seems a bit convoluted. So I'm happy that they're splitting it, but you weren't too sure about that.
I mean, personally, I think they should have adapted the macOS app slightly due to being on a desktop environment, that they could have just... put different tabs for podcasts. If you want to find something, you can just type in the search on the different tab of podcasts. But I mean, personally, I've got the Apple iPhone app as well. Prior to having podcasts, I initially searched within the music app, assuming that podcasts would be in there.
Right.
But they're
not.
So that took me a 10 second learning curve. But then I realized you have to download the podcast app to actually listen to the podcast itself, which was different on the...
But this is the interesting part. And again, there's talks of macOS supporting iPhone apps. Are they moving away from having a desktop app and porting over iPhone app, which we already have, which means they've got to do zero development. It's very little small that they need to do.
That's true.
Is this because obviously, if you don't know, the news app on macOS is a mobile app that they've tailored to work on macOS. So
this could be the way forward. If that's what they're doing, they're making all the apps similar and in the same sort of environment, then by all means, a lot.
Now, being a Microsoft fanboy, I'm going to bring this up. They tried to do that. and it failed miserably because they didn't have enough developers. So I'm kind of glad that Apple are pushing for it because I think. A, it saves developmental time for our customers that might use different tools or software. They can download and it will be the same thing across. So there's less development time for loads of organizations out there.
I mean, could it be the future of the macOS and the iOS whole environment is slowly being unitized into one?
I'm going to be honest. I have this iPad Pro, right? Yeah. It uses iOS. There's times where I wish it would do much as a macOS. Yeah.
I think they should eventually give out this option where you start out what type of look do you want? Do you want the macOS look or do you want the iOS look? Which would be great and you can do more features in the Mac.
But then this now raises the question, will they release a touchscreen MacBook?
I think the time has come. I think if there's any brand out there that would be
but then they do that. They then kill off this device.
That's true. But then I think that's still more portable. You've got this touchscreen device, which is just a screen that you can take out and about. A MacBook is still obviously larger.
Yeah,
there's a lot of features they need to think about. But yeah, I do understand what you're saying. They could eventually kill out the iPad. Do they want to do that? Probably not.
No. Now, talking about the Apple thing, I've just found out that they charged for transferring data from one Mac to another. We did not know this.
We did not know. I found this out earlier. I was shocked by this.
$99. And they've now stopped it, which is now free service. But
so copying one MacBook to another MacBook with one cable is $99.
Well, just used to be $99.
Yeah, used to be. That's absurd. Absolutely, I cannot believe that. We do it on a daily occurrence. So it's plugging one cable in, drag and drop, drag and drop.
Yeah,
there's not much to it at all.
It is crazy. I mean, when I saw it, I was just like, really? But then again, we've got cloud storage, and I think.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know how many people have gone to the Apple Store and asked for this service, and they've said, "Oh, $99."
I mean, when it comes to the end user, they'll probably look at it. The end customer at home, they'll probably look at it. It's just a plug and play. There's a couple more things involved into it, but still, for that amount of money, that's absurd.
It is absurd, but I'm glad that Apple have axed that.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about the customers.
We don't know how many years that went on for.
No, I don't know.
The amount of money they would have
made from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Amazon Go. Obviously, this is for the US, especially. You have Amazon.
Hopefully in the UK soon.
It's coming soon this year, from what I've heard. The whole point was you were able to walk in, pick up an item, walk out. It will then wirelessly take the money out.
Yeah.
They've now begun to accept cash. Physical cash.
So this is the whole... The whole aspect of are we in a public environment where we're now eventually removing the whole idea of cash? It looks like Amazon's going back to it, which is good, because I can't see at the moment cash ever been a way of we're going to remove cash from society.
Well, that's what the banks have tried to do for years. That is their dream goal. But every single time we move forwards, we seem to be going back to physical money.
Yeah, I mean. When you come to the big cities like London and the bigger other aspects, Birmingham in the UK and so forth, a lot of people are more technologically advanced. They can adapt to, again, paying from their watches, paying from their phones and so forth. But I've seen other towns and cities out there where people still have a lot of cash.
But then again,
walking around.
This is Amazon. This is their product. They could do it, but... I guess they want to get more customers in through the door.
Yeah, I mean,
I've not seen it personally.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure how it works, but I guess you've got to be an Amazon customer to utilize it.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised if people aren't Amazon customers, but I'm sure that they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have them to come to the store.
Yeah.
You've got to have other means of paying. So cash is here to stay, people.
You've got to be there for everyone, really. So that's what Amazon are doing, so...
True. YouTube, interactive shows. About
time. I love
the
idea of that, yeah.
About time.
I mean, we've got Netflix, and they've launched out a few shows now. They've had Bandersnatch.
Yeah, which I loved.
For Black Mirror, which is great, absolutely great. The different endings, different environments, that brilliant. And they've recently launched the Bear Grylls season one, where you can... you've got different scenarios that he's in. You can choose to go this way or that way, and it's every way is a different scenario, which is definitely good.
Yeah, which is cool. Which
gives people that fun option to actually be glued to that show, to watch it, to interact in every aspect of it. I mean, Bandersnatch, the simple thing was, does he choose one cereal, choose the other cereal?
Yeah.
Simple things like that, but you're still using your remote to think, oh, okay, I'm gonna interact with the show. I'm gonna be glued to the show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch every point. Because I know when it comes to certain TV shows, you can blank out for certain things. But these ones, you think, if I blank out for 2 seconds, I might miss something.
I mean, for me, I've always played video games that gave you a choice that changed the story arc.
Yeah.
And I've always enjoyed that. And there was a Welsh company that started doing it for video games. So there's a game called Late Shift.
Okay.
And you end up doing a late shift and you end up getting into a different scenario and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed that. The fact that movies or TV shows might be interactive, like he can tailor it to your taste.
Yeah.
And then it opens up a conversation like, oh, I did this and I had this. And you're like, oh, but I went down a different path. So it does definitely engage people in conversation about the program.
It also gives the people the rewatching aspect of it as well, because people will think, oh, I've been through this aspect. Let me try a different scenario to go through different choices as well. Yeah. See what the end outcome is. I think it's great. I think it's definitely great to get the end customer to be engaged in the show, which is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, another big thing, and from Microsoft, I'm sorry I'm bringing out Microsoft.
There we go. Nah.
Microsoft Edge using...
I love Microsoft as well, by the way, so I'm not
using using Chromium as a background.
Yeah, which is great.
Now, even though I love the fact that this new Edge, and you can download it as a preview online right now if you want to test it on Windows. It's free for everybody to actually download. So just Google or Bing, Microsoft Edge Insider. I can now download Chrome and Firefox extensions into Edge, and I can run these tools, which is great. And because it's Chromium, works as quick as Chrome does, plays everything. My only issue here, and I was thinking about this earlier on, what legal case are they going to get? Because now you wouldn't need to download Firefox or Chrome on Windows. Haven't they done something similar before where they got in trouble?
They did. I think previously they put Internet Explorer as default for everyone to use.
Yeah.
But then they got into trouble for that and they have to give everyone else an option. I think they will still do that because people are still synced and people still like the different browsers. They have to give them that option. They can't just
Of course.
But obviously they will still install Edge for everyone.
One browser does it all here.
I know. I'm a big fan of Edge. I think it's brilliant. For me, it's always worked. And it's quick. I've always found Chrome is always sluggish a bit. After a while, it slugs and it gets a bit slow. But Edge has always got that snappiness to it.
But it seems like Chromium. I mean, Opera runs off it. Yeah. Firefox runs off it. Exactly. Everything's running off this open sourced thing.
Yeah.
I guess what will make Edge stand out to be different, I think what would make it work is if they can somehow incorporate Internet Explorer code.
Yes.
So you can run legacy stuff on there, which Chrome can't do.
I think they would do that. It's not something that they can.
Well, Edge doesn't do that. Edge doesn't do that at the moment. Hence why you got Internet Explorer and Edge.
I think Internet Explorer is such a, even when you open it up on Windows 10, it still looks so old.
And it does.
Still got it on there.
Yeah.
They even need to update it as a separate browser, or it's time to just incorporate into Edge and kill it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But interesting times.
Yeah,
and what's also quite interesting, I've actually tested Edge on my iPad.
Yeah.
But they're looking to release that Chrome version on Mac OS. Like Edge on a Mac OS.
Which is great.
Yeah. I personally love it. Xbox, again, has Edge. So if that's Chromium, I can browse the internet and whatever natively. I mean... the company is definitely going down the right path, but we don't know when we're going to see it. But like I said, you can test it out, you can download it. I will put it in a link somewhere as well, so that you can click on it. So
definitely,
it'll be cool. And the last thing I want to finish this off with for the news is Amazon earbuds.
Yes, so you've got the Apple earbuds, you've got Samsung, and now Amazon will bring their own earbuds out. Hopefully they'll be integrated into Alexa as well, which would be pretty cool.
They
bring that integration out, which I don't see why they wouldn't do that. Hopefully it's a good price range as well compared to others.
Yeah, the price range is a big thing. I mean, AirPods are nearly $179.
Samsung is similar, probably $20-$30, a bit less.
So if Amazon can undercut everybody else,
yes,
I think they're on to a winner.
As long as they've got... the quality of it is good.
Yeah, and Alexa has improved over time. It's a great assistant. We've got to wait and see how it goes.
It'd be great you're around the house, listen to music on your earbuds.
Exactly, yeah.
Earbuds, and then just ask Alexa, do this, do that, and it does that for you as well, which is great. I think it would really work.
Yeah.
They're cracking into that market, which is something which they've got those devices around the house and incorporating that with the earbuds, which would be great.
I wonder what they will call it. Alexa in your ear. That's too much.
That'll be just a subtitle at the bottom. But
yeah.
Alexa buds or something.
Echo buds?
Yeah, it could be that.
Echo buds.
If not, Pitch it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Anybody from Amazon watching? Echo Buds.
There we go.
That's
you heard it here first, yeah.
Yeah, heard it here first. I'll laugh if they do call it Echo Buds.
That would be funny.
So that's the news that we've got so far. So the next segment we've got is tips, easy way to generate passwords. So
there we go.
In our line of work, we have users that come up to us and they say, oh, you know, I want to change my password. I'm changing numbers. Hard to remember. It's difficult to do all sorts. Now, I have a particular way of doing it, and I wanted to share that with everybody. What I tend to do for passwords is, and obviously you might do it differently, but I tend to choose three random words, a number, and a symbol. So what I'm about to say isn't my passwords, but you can have cat eat dogs one exclamation mark.
Give it a try, by the way, it might be.
But that works. And then the next one could be house red brick with a number.
Yeah.
With an exclamation mark. So, you know, my general tip is make it easy. You know, it doesn't need to be overly complicated. You know, just choose three random words that you will easily remember, put a number, put a symbol, and hey presto.
Great tip.
And I have suggested that, and people thought, well, that's a pretty easy way of doing it. So for anybody out there that does struggle with password changes, and we all do, just try using three random words, put a number, put a symbol, capital letters anywhere that you want to put in. Give that a go, and yeah, that should be an easy way to do passwords.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's the tip. Now, a quote that you love, Mandeep.
Just to finish it off with a nice quote, quote that I definitely do like, and I do have heard quite a lot. The science of today is the future of tomorrow.
I do love that quote. That is actually on my LinkedIn, believe it or not.
There we go.
And it is true. I mean, that quote is...
Definitely is true.
You know, it is... It is the future.
It's what it is. I mean, the science of today is the future of tomorrow, which is great. I mean,
talking about science, my mother was telling me about a story, and this is the future for tomorrow.
Okay.
And they're going to do the first ever head transplant.
Wow.
Onto another body. They've successfully done it with a chimpanzee, where there was a chimpanzee that was disabled neck down.
Okay.
They were able to then transfer the chimpanzee's head onto another chimpanzee who had passed away. And is running around happily. There's videos online, and they're looking to do the first one
for a human
head being. Transplant. Yeah, so someone who could be paralyzed, head down, could then have their head onto somebody else's. But now there's going to be weirdness behind that.
A lot of implications to that.
Yeah.
See,
but to give somebody
the
an opportunity.
Reasons why as well. But
yeah.
Again, it's got to be obviously down to the person that's having the transplant.
Yeah.
Whichever body that they're
it is away
but
from
that's not something that we're
but we are saying that the science that we're doing today is shaping the future, and hence why we really love that quote. Now we are going to make it easier for all of you to reach out to us. We've got podcast@vibes.xyz, so if you want to give us feedback, if you want to share ideas, if you want to see something, just reach out to us.
We want to learn from you guys as well. So if you find anything we're doing wrong or you think we could change anything, just let us know.
I mean, we want to make this, you know, for you.
Yeah.
And I do have a dream. And that dream is this time next year, I definitely want to be in the top 10 podcasts around the world. I mean, that would be amazing if we can hit that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
But
we're trying to make it as slick as...
Yeah.
As nice for everyone to see.
Yeah. So we're doing a video one here. This is the first one. We'll obviously improve on it as time goes on, but we've worked hard. I mean, to be three episodes in and to bring it to this point,
getting from where we are to where we are now.
Yeah.
The feedback we've had already is great. Absolutely. We love the feedback from you guys. But yeah, just keep it coming.
Yeah.
Let us know what we can do.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything you guys think we should include as well. Let us know. We're open to that as well.
But then I want to give a little sneak preview is we are looking to engage other people as part of this.
Yes.
From around the world. So you'll probably have one screen where we have this and another screen with another person showing themselves from the US or from Canada or from anywhere else in the world. So we're hoping to bring more people in to share their thoughts, to share their ideas, give tips, you know. So we're definitely going to be growing this. And
I mean, if it's someone just want to come in for a quick few minutes, just share something that they've thought about, or something that they read, or something extremely extremely happy about, and they want to let the world know about in terms of tech, let us know. Just get involved.
Yeah.
Hit us up on the email, and then
So we can bring you up on the screen. Podcast at vibes.xyz, and I'll put that in the description as well. So, you know, feel free to reach out to us. But we just want to say thank you. Thank you. And we'll be back in 2 weeks time.
Yes, we will.
And
fortnightly.
Yeah. And
we'll be there.
Yeah. It's awesome. So our first video podcast.
Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you liked it.
Yeah.
But we'll be back.
Take care.
Bye.